Yo fam, today we're going to talk about an update on my EMDR therapy. Yeah. So I've shared a couple times, I hired a new therapist technically for the first time, and we're doing a modality, I guess is the proper word, called EMDR, which is like something along eye movement, something, which I should probably look that up. However, it's this process of reframing, reorganizing the brain through, my word, I guess, is reframing, but going through past trauma and experiences, and in a sense, taking a messy file and making it nice and pretty. So putting things where they belong. And the process involves either eye movement or tapping, etc. And so what happens a lot of times in life is we have experiences and we make up a story about what it means or about what we believe, and we store that trauma in the body. And all that really means for me is it's represented like in a knot in my gut, or the feeling or sense that the other shoe's going to drop, or something that is, that becomes so natural that I just think it's a normal, that's just the way I am, that's the way I feel, that's the way my body responds. And oftentimes when we have experiences that are in our childhood, you know, the feeling and the thoughts totally detach. And what I mean by that is when we have an experience as a child, we make up a story, it's attached to a feeling. Eventually that story goes away, and then it just becomes a gut, like an instant reaction, or totally happening in our subconscious. And what the reason I have been seeking in this area is there are so many behaviors or feelings that I have that don't match up with my thoughts. In other words, they don't match up with what I want to do. They don't match up with what I with how I want to behave, who I want to be as a person, both professionally and at home. And I'm always had a hard time putting my actual finger on it. And so this last therapy session I had, you know, in prepping me for this, she said, she gave me a list of things to of thoughts or feelings that I identify with. And a couple things that stood out for me is I feel like I'm always doing something wrong. I feel like I am not good enough, and I'm typically scared of something. Those were kind of, you know, some variation. And so she says, okay, let's go back through your life and look through some experiences. You don't need to tell me the exact details, but what's the first memory when you were a little kid of feeling like you're doing something wrong? And I flash back to, there was one or two times where I was eating mustard out of a jar under the dining room table. So picture this, little kid, go to the refrigerator. I can't remember. I have this sense of like this overwhelming desire to eat mustard or whatever. I kind of knew, I guess I knew that it was wrong because, you know, I knew just from, you know, our experience that you typically put mustard or ketchup on something. You don't eat it by itself, but I wanted to eat it. So because I thought I was doing something wrong, I hid under the table in case my mom or dad came and I didn't get caught. And so for me, I don't remember a lot of my childhood, but most people have like what I call the greatest hits, which are these flashes of experiences that we have as a child, i.e., why do I remember this, you know, this eating mustard situation? But for me, I flash back there. I remember the knot in my gut. I remember the air or edge of excitement that I had because I felt like I was getting away with something. The shame and guilt as well of doing something wrong, or you know, maybe even doing something that's gross, etc. But we go through this process in my therapy session of remember back to being a little boy under the table and this and that, and where do you feel it, and where, how does your body feel, and we're going through this process, and I distinctly remember in this therapy session my gut being separate from my body. In other words, if I did a body scan from head to toe, I could go through my head, I could go through my chest, feel a little bit tight, a little bit not in my gut, et cetera, et cetera. And so we go through this process of tapping and remembering and tapping and remembering. And then we get into like the reframe. Now, she didn't call it that. My wife talks a lot about reframing something. Byron Katie, that her work is about reframing. A lot of stuff in recovery is about reframing, is looking at an experience and testing, reframing the perspective and testing the thought, is this crap true? So she's like, what can be another way of looking at it? And I go, well, in my mind, I'm going, well, maybe it could also be looked at as a young kid who's really creative and a young kid that is wants to try something and they try it. For example, maybe being brave or it's also a little kid maybe following his instinct of doing something like, hey, I wonder what it would be like to eat this, or, you know, whatever. And then because my son is almost 4 and we're really getting into this imagination and pretending and being Power Rangers and stuff like that, I kind of imagined me being a bit of a, you know, being kind of an army soldier and getting something to eat and hiding from the enemy and being creative, right? And imaginary and stuff like that. Much of which I have snuffed out in my adulthood. In other words, I have thought for a very long time that my creativity had left me. I thought for a long period of time that my imagination was gone, because I had a hard time connecting with that. And so as we're going through this reframing process, I picture me being a soldier, being creative, hiding. I picture like a fort with like, you know, weeds and shrubbery built around me, like a little fort under the dining room table. And if you, my dining room table in the house I grew up with was right across from my dad's chair. He would sit in this big chair and watch TV. And then I imagined my father sitting in the chair, looking at me hiding and being proud of his son being creative and being imaginary and all these things and almost like being encouraging. And also my mom, I could see her little legs walking past as I'm hiding. And so my father seeing this and my mom walking and not, you know, me doing a good job hiding, and this being, it's basically flipping the experience on its head, going from this scared little boy, scared I'm going to get caught in trouble and get in trouble, to being a creative, fun, energetic, you know, imaginary kid, and my father looking on me with affection and with an air of being proud of his son, and, you know, with love, which was so odd, because I know that there's some stuff in there that I'm working through with my father, in a relationship I have with my father. So I totally changed this story into something positive, right? And then at the end of the session, we're going back through and she says, okay, let's do a body scan and blah, blah, blah. So I did the same thing at the end as I did at the beginning, which is a body scan. And I went through and my stomach was no longer detached from my body. In other words, I felt this warm, fuzzy, loving feeling from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and my entire body felt the same. I couldn't physically identify my stomach from the rest of my body. And what's significant about that is my stomach is what holds a lot of my nervousness, my nervous energy, my fear, my insecurity. I identify my stomach with those feelings. And as much as I was trying to feel it, I couldn't feel it. And so what was also interesting about this is, you know, one of the programs that I go to, we talk about this addiction to excitement, which is also an addiction to fear. And although we may say we don't want to be scared, it is so ingrained in our body that we put ourselves in situations to be scared. And so I actually practiced this. In other words, I went through the process. The knot in the gut went away. I no longer had it. I felt warm and fuzzy. And I go, huh, this is weird. I want to get the knot back. So I physically do a body scan. I'm trying to get the knot to go back, right? We finish the session. I go, wow, that's weird. I told her what happened. And she goes, well, that's how this works. You rewire the brain. And then after, as I'm driving home, I go, you know what? Let me see if I can get the knot back in my stomach. Let me see if I can go back to feeling scared and insecure like a scared little boy. And I'll be damned, I couldn't get the thought back. Like, I couldn't relive the experience in the negative way that I had been living it for so long. Like, I would go back, I'd go through the process of walking to the refrigerator and grabbing the mustard. And every time I got under the table, which usually induces the knot in my gut, it would pop to the warm, fuzzy feeling of hiding out, being creative, feeding myself, being self-proficient, self-proficient. And my dad looking at me with a loving, compassionate, fun look, like you look at your son when, or you know, son or daughter when you're proud. And it's just been the weirdest thing. And I've actually attempted this. This is so counterintuitive, because if I say I want help and I say I want to get rid of these feelings and I don't want to feel inadequate and insecure, but yet I do something that makes me feel less inadequate and insecure, and my instinct is to try to get back to that feeling of inadequacy. It's so counterintuitive. But every time I go back, since I've had that session, which has been, Friday will be a full week, I cannot get to the place of feeling inadequate or insecure or feeling uneasy in that space. And so what a neat experience. That thought, which would be one of my greatest hits of being scared, now has a positive spin on it. And I'm actually having a positive view of my creativity, and I'm also getting that which I desired growing up, which is love and affection and my father being proud of me, which I didn't go into this therapy thinking that, but that was just an end result. So what a really cool experience. Now, the next couple of sessions, we're going to be going through some deeper, a little bit more maybe traumatic things, but I'm just looking forward to just this new experience in my own personal recovery and personal growth, particularly around, where does my insecurity come from? Where does my self-worth come from? Where are the stories that I've made up that don't serve me, that I do not know are there, or I didn't know they're made up, or I didn't know I relied on them? Where are those? What are they, and how can I reframe it? I'll keep you guys posted. Hey, if you know someone that would benefit from hearing this podcast, don't forget to share it with them. Like and subscribe on whatever platform you listen to this on. And if you know someone struggling with anxiety, depression, drug and alcohol addiction, or anything of the like, let them know that they have a resource out there and have them reach out. Holler at your boy, Gia.